Welcome to Zion's Saturday Call to Sunday Morning Worship, presented by 105-year-old Zion Lutheran Church of Silver Hill, Alabama, raising the call to worship the Lord Jesus Christ in Baldwin County. We are a church of the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations, which grew out of Norwegian Lutheran pietism more than a century ago. God's call to worship is simple and straightforward. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's Psalm 29, verse 2. You and I are not worthy to come into the presence of our Heavenly Father. Believers from the very early days of worship have confessed their sins, their inadequacies, and their decisions which have separated them from God. Lutherans share a public confession each Sunday morning. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore we come for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, God promised us to hear this kind of prayer. Psalm 145, verses 17 through 20 explains, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy." When we worship together, we affirm the great doctrines and teachings of the historic church by reciting one of the creeds of the faith. The Apostles' Creed states, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Amen." During the Saturday morning devotional series, we will be taking several moments to look at worship through the eye of the Bible. We have been looking at worship these summer weeks with a specific eye on how God's Word instructs us about activities which honor Him. Today we are going to examine something called humility, the attitude which says that you and I are not the top of the heap. The question for today is this: where does humility come in worship? Paul's letter to the Philippians talks about Jesus Christ as a model of humility. Here's Philippians 2, verses 3 through 11. "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." People are fascinated by the life of Christ, because Jesus was not on an ego trip there in little country Israel. Christ was not motivated by selfish ambition or conceit. Jesus loved people and felt for them in practical ways. Paul would describe Jesus as the one who put the welfare of others before his own welfare. How else can we understand the Son of God laying aside his deity, coming to earth and growing up from human baby to human adult? Therefore, we, in Paul's terms, in lowliness of mind, should esteem others better than ourselves. Our human problem is sin. Jesus Christ, Son of the Father, came to save us from sin. Paul says, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men." Jesus did what it took to deal with human sin, even putting aside his very godness to be like us. Isn't that the very essence of humility? Putting aside our own position to honor another? Isn't that what Jesus did for you and me when he became a human being and put our very welfare before his own? Paul explains that, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Sometimes we do what we don't really want to do because there is honor and dignity involved. Think about this. Jesus Christ was the very agent of creation. The heavens and the earth were created by him. Just check out Colossians if you doubt this little factoid here. We know that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit were fully aware of sin entering the universe. Even before Jesus Christ put that creation together, and even before Adam and Eve had a garden to care for, sin would enter the universe. The wages of sin bring death. Man sinned, death would come as the wages of sin. The wages have to be paid. The Bible tells us that what that means for you and me is that everyone has to die once. Jesus Christ, God in human form, never sinned, but yet he paid the price of sin. That is real humility, paying for what you did not buy and suffering the consequences of what was purchased. The Bible tells us that there is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. Yes, death is payment. The sacrificial system given to the ancient Israelites showed that the shedding of innocent blood could atone or cover over the debt of sin. The problem? The effects of sacrifice had a limited lifetime. You and I live in time. After a period of time, the atonement would be over and another sacrifice would be needed. Now, think about God for a minute. God does not live in time. God is out there looking at the universe. For God, the beginning and the middle and the end, all are there at the same time. We talk about God being the Ancient of Days because God was there then. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, because God is outside of time. So, God the Son, Jesus Christ, enters time and becomes human. This is humility big time. Not only that, Jesus becomes the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the whole world. He does this task by dying on the cross. But remember, we live in time. How long would a sacrifice like this last? Well, here's what God did. Jesus died on the cross. He was buried in the grave. God raised Jesus up from the dead. The perfect sacrifice became living, a living sacrifice which continues to atone for our sin. On top of that, Jesus ascends into heaven. He leaves our time realm and returns to eternity, and his perfect sacrifice continues to save us from the consequences of our sin. This is why Paul can say, "Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." We are talking about Sunday worship in these weeks of summer. Jesus Christ humbled himself and became obedient to the master plan of salvation, considering us more important than himself, dying for us. Think of how valuable we must be for the Son of God to humble himself for us. He did it according to the plan that was established before the foundation of the universe. Doesn't that put some perspective on what worship is all about? Well, let's listen in on Zion congregation members talking about some of the elements of worship at Zion Lutheran Church.
You can just feel it in your heart. You just feel it. You know. God talks to your heart here.
Absolutely. And your convictions, a lot of times it's not, maybe not something you want to hear, but I think the Holy Spirit working, God working through the Holy Spirit will convict you of the wrongs and might be unpleasant to you, but, and he also is a God that loves you and he lets you know that. So it's a time of searching your own heart.
The Holy Spirit comes to me in several ways during worship. Some of it is just by being there to fellowship with each other in a common way of wanting to serve God. It allows through that experience of being there with each other again to fellowship. But then there's always something in his sermon that will speak to you to allow you to know that the Holy Spirit is here. Through the uncompromised word, and then also through our prayer, our liturgy, and through our song, the Lord, he takes every opportunity to make sure that we know that he is here with us, and his Holy Spirit is poured out upon us. I think the word is how God speaks to us, and again, in a very uncompromised way.
One thing we need to stay in the Word by studying the Bible daily, and through the Holy Spirit, he gives us the understanding of the Word and gives us the faith that we're, as we go to worship, that we honor the Lord and honor Jesus Christ.
How does the Holy Spirit come to you in Sunday worship? How do you know that Zion Lutheran Church is a place that you can worship God? How do you know the Spirit is active?
I don't. I just have to believe it. It's the congregation. And there again, it's the people, the congregation, that is the church, that forms the church.
So you have to really rely on people to know that the Holy
Spirit... a building doesn't do it. It's a nice building, but that doesn't do it.
How do you know that God is here?
You can feel him. You can feel his presence.
Is there anything special that you think of when you think about Zion?
Oh, I think about, like I said before, the good people and the pastor. And that's about it.
Through the word. He comes through the word.
Okay, what about those other things that we have in the liturgy, like confession and...
Well, that's part of the humility. His confession is part of the humility. And the hymns are... They mostly repeat things that come out of the Word and make it joyful, to let God know that we appreciate Him.
We are coming to the end of our time together. Let's share the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Well, please receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Zion Lutheran Church invites you to liturgical worship tomorrow at 10 a.m. We use the familiar classic common service, which has been a choice of a variety of Lutheran church bodies for the last century. Got more time? Come to Sunday school at 9 a.m. Want midweek Bible study? Join us at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays for an hour of study and a time of prayer. Are you a lady? How about considering our monthly women's Bible study at 10 a.m.? Call Zion Lutheran Church for details at 251-945-5209. And men, think breakfast before work. Complimentary breakfast. Our Men's 710 Breakfast and Speaker Fellowship meets at 7:10 a.m. on the second Tuesday of the month. Zion is located a block off State Highway 104 at 15875 4th Avenue at 7th Street in beautiful Silver Hill, just across the street from Silver Hill School. Zion Lutheran Church is a congregation of the AFLC, the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations, the fourth largest Lutheran denomination in America. Specific information about Zion Lutheran Church can be obtained at www.lutheransinsilverhill.com or by calling 251-945-5209. goodbye, and God bless you until we meet again next Saturday at about 7:30 in the morning. Or how about tomorrow at 10 a.m.? We'll save a pew for you.